podcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is season 3, episode 37, episode number 127. How is it going tonight?
Grand.
Good.
She good. Says, holding... Amanda has a nosebleed right now.
I do. It's a small one. It's, you know, it's the last vestiges of winter, I think, clinging on to the inside of my nostrils.
Oh.
It's very dry heat in a New York City apartment. So these things happen sometimes. But
they do.
I think we've solved it. I think we're okay now.
All right. Well, that's
good. I think we're good.
Take it easy.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
It happens.
Yeah, we're doing this show a little in advance of spring break. Yay! You know, we're almost at the end of season 3. Because we generally do about 45 episodes a season, right?
That's right.
Oh.
That is correct.
So we are getting up there.
Look at that.
I know, crazy. We got to start thinking of our third birthday party.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, how's it going, other than nosebleeds aside? I'm not feeling so great myself.
Yeah, how are you healing from your big procedure?
Little one, and I'm okay. I kind of lost energy before. I think I'm trying to do too much at once. And I'm just like, everything hurts, so anyway.
So don't do that. Doctor says, hey doctor, hurts when you do this, then don't do it.
Yeah, you know.
Just don't do it.
Easy peasy. Yep. When I was editing the show for last week, I noticed that my voice sounded all like, fuck yeah. Like, I went like that. And I was like, why didn't anybody tell me that I sounded horrible?
Because you didn't. Yeah. I didn't notice it.
Oh,
I didn't notice it either.
It's pretty bad upon re-listening.
Also, you'd literally been operated on, so.
Yeah.
I was just amazed that you were even, like, recording.
Yeah, me too. But anyway. I'm just crazy like that. No. yeah, but no, I'm feeling a little bit better. Anyways, yeah, what have you guys been up to in the last 2 days since we recorded last?
My ass is healed.
Your ass
is healed. Good.
Yeah. Ass is good to go.
Yay!
And I ran yesterday and my ass is fine.
Did you didn't get the 20 mile in though, right?
No. Yesterday was just 8 miles.
Okay.
But I feel like it's really the like serious double digits ones that are bringing on the ass pain. But again, only lasts for a day.
Goes away. Yeah. It's a very long time to be running.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
But agreed. You know, what's a little ass pain for the overall accomplishment?
Exactly.
It's true.
It's weird that it didn't have, like, this is my 7th time doing a marathon and like, why now? And it's never been a thing before. But I suppose this is maybe part of getting older.
Yeah.
Your ass starts hurting.
Yeah, I would hope so. Then that it's not like a more serious thing, that it's just like a bit of an old, just aging runner.
Just,
next year, you'll be running it with your walker. Got to put the tennis balls on it so it glides.
So it glides well. You got some sweet, like, sick, nasty downhills.
Yep.
Back in my day, a little ass pain never stopped anyone. I'm plowing through.
Yep. Just means you're working right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
means you're ready.
Good luck to your ass.
Thanks.
And, you know, all the other parts that are attached to it. Right? That's how that goes.
Yeah.
Sure.
I forgot to show you guys the other day. So last weekend we were in Chicago for like a joint kind of like birthday trip thingy. And we saw Hamilton on Friday night and it was awesome. And also on Friday, we did this thing called the Sky Deck, which if anybody is familiar with Chicago, the Willis Tower is it's like the 4th tallest building. They called it the Willis Tower. Peanut gallery.
Yeah, seriously. Hush up. You have a microphone? I don't think so.
Yeah, seriously. It's the tallest building in Chicago. I think it's like the 4th tallest building in the world now or something like that. It's like 11 now, but... Whatever. It's like 11 now. Excuse me. anyway, It's really high, though. It's like 110 stories, and I'm kind of terrified of heights. And they have this thing called the sky deck. We go up to the 103rd floor, and there are balconies that, like, ledges or balconies that hang out over, like, the city from 103 stories up. And it's all glass, and you look down, and it's terrifying. And I, you know, was like, I'm going to do it. I'm probably going to poop my pants, but I'm going to do it. And then we got up there, and it was right at, like, we landed, we went to the hotel, we checked in, and then we kind of pretty much went straight there. So I get up there, and I'm like, okay, I've got this. Like, it's just like being on the airplane still, only not as high as the airplane. So I've got this. And they have this whole thing that you walk around and, like, gift shop, and you can see the city in, like, 360. So, you know, we're up there for, like, a good half hour, 45 minutes before we get in line to do the thing. And then as we're in line to do the sky deck, there are little kids. I mean, like, freaking 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-year-olds, like, who are just out there, and they're, like, laying on the thing, and they're taking pictures with their family. And I'm like, if these little kids can do it, I could do it. And then, you know, there's women who are, like, laying there and, like, posing and whatnot. And as we get closer, and I'm like, these ladies are, like, my age. If they could do it, I could do it. So I was, like, all into, like, I got this. And then, like, when it came time to do it, I was like, holy shit, I don't have this.
I got this. I lost it.
So close. So there is a video on Instagram, and that is all real. I was pretty terrified, but I did it. But anyway, yeah, I was super proud of myself. Have you guys ever done any, like, the high building tall things thing?
We did the Empire State Building once.
I have never made it all the way up there.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah,
but it's also different. Like, it's, you're not, you're standing on concrete, and, like, you're surrounded by concrete and stone. Like, it's not like a big exposed clear space.
Have you ever done
it's very different.
Have you ever done the top of 30 Rock? Isn't that a thing?
No, I've never done that.
I've wanted to do that, but I've never done that.
We went to that to the top of that tower, like the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
Place.
Oh yeah.
The
yeah.
one, what is it called?
One World Trade.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Exactly.
The Freedom Tower. The giant middle finger in the sky. Did you know?
I was gonna say giant penis in the sky.
It's so tall. It is 1776. Is like the height of it. It's the most patriotic building in the world.
Well, we went to the top of that, and it was really cool, actually. Yeah. The view was amazing. They had this whole, like, video thing where they were showing all these different things and then it opened up, and, like, you see the windows behind it, and you're like, holy shit. And then you can walk around. That was really cool.
But I do want to do that too one day.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. I've never done it.
But again, and just like you were saying, Amanda, it's not the same where you, like, you don't walk out onto.
Yeah,
like you don't see, like, underneath your feet. So I think even people who are not super jazzed with heights could probably, maybe do that a little bit easier.
The moment I realized I was terrified of heights was when we went to London with my family when my sister was studying there, and we climbed up to the top of St. Paul's Cathedral, and the staircase inside is a spiral staircase, and do you guys know what I'm talking? Shani, have you ever climbed it?
Not that particular one, but I've been up the bell towers at Notre Dame, and it's probably very similar.
Yeah,
yeah, I've done a few in, like, Munich that were like that.
Yeah, and they're not like the most secured looking or feeling in the world. Yeah.
No, wood, some wood, a very thin railing that you're like, how do thousands of people go up and down this thing and no one has died?
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yes. And, like, I think that some of the stairs didn't even have, like, you know, the backs to them.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah. Most of them don't. They just don't believe in that stuff in Europe.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, how have people not died? And that was the moment that I have never recovered since then. And I believe we went in 2010. So I was, how old were we in 2010? 26.
Yeah.
So, okay, so we were 26, and I remember stopping and not being able to go further, and like having to hold my parents' hands and be like, "Mommy, Daddy, please help me get up here." Oh. I did not do it. So, but yeah, I would love to hear other people's stories out there though about the tall places that you've climbed. I'm sure Dan is listening, and Dan has probably climbed like mountains that are like 15 times the story of the Skydeck one, but
yeah, no, I was gonna say, like, I've done like some of the buildings and stuff, and that stuff doesn't necessarily freak me out, but what has scared me the most is Yosemite National Park. Some of the cliffs on there, like, they make you stay a safe distance away, but yet I still can't bring myself to that distance.
Yeah,
that's fair. Yeah, or I was gonna say like zip lining. I did zip lining in Costa Rica, and that was probably the scariest thing I've ever done.
Nice.
Yes.
It was really scary. I was so bad at it that they wouldn't let me go by myself.
Oh no!
I had to have what they called it a taxi. So it was like one of the like instructor guides would like do, and I would have to like hold on to them
like in tandem.
Tandem. I mean, they were all like adorable, like cute young Costa Rican men, so it's like, oh, not that bad. Yeah. You know, it was fine. There was like another woman in our group that started doing the same thing. She's like, I need some help. Her husband's like, she does not need help. She just wants to touch the cute men.
Cougar, anyone?
Hey, she was awesome. She had a nice pair of gams on her. She was allowed to be cougarific.
Awesome.
Hashtag shout back. No, flashback. No. You know, and you
choose your own hashtag.
Callback.
Hashtag callback.
Yeah. So when we did Hamilton, though, so the tickets are significantly less expensive to go in Chicago. So I'm a fan of the mezzanine level. So I picked, you know, front mezzanine seats, and you know, they're again like a third of the price to see them in New York, except when I went to check out, they were like way more than I had, you know, thought in my head. And then I realized there was this thing called the suite service that got added onto it, and I couldn't figure out how to unadd it. And it was essentially, from what I read the description, was a room where you could have your own coat check and bathrooms and hors d'oeuvres and open bar. And I was bar? Oh, please. We could easily drink our way through and make up for this. And we did. And it was awesome. I think Jay figured it out that we had like three or four drinks each because they kept it open all the way to the end. And we definitely made our money back on like the second drink. So it was totally worth it. And it was great. I highly recommend if you want to drop the extra money on that. If you are somebody that's going to take advantage of like hors d'oeuvres and open bar and whatever, like I wouldn't have, except then I had it and then I did. So,
So yeah.
You had a financial obligation.
I had a financial obligation to drink more than I had paid for this thing that I couldn't not pay for. I was forced to pay for as a part of those tickets. So there we go. But yeah, no, it was great. And then we did the museums and the architecture tour the next day, and it was just a blast. And I can't wait to go back to Chicago again someday.
Yeah, it looks really fun. Nice.
Yeah.
So good times. And I am going to do, well, I guess I'm going to now commit myself to this before next Friday. I did a blog post on it with some pictures and other stuff. So go check that out if you are interested in it at callrights.com. And you know what? That might become a bonus clip someday if I don't actually get to that blog post. 8 days. Anyways, that's pretty much all I got. I was going to talk about Captain Marvel, but I loved it, and all the people that hated on it need to go show themselves, have a seat, whatever.
Cool.
Yeah. Ladies can be superheroes, and they don't have to nitpick their movies. It's like, seriously. Iron Man 2, guys, come on now. Please. Just, yeah. That movie was kind of not great, and I bet all those little man boys who didn't like Captain Marvel were like, we love Iron Man too. It made total sense, except for that lady came and she was Scarlett Johansson and decided that she wanted to be in the movie too and be a superhero.
Funny how that works.
Mm-hmm. Jay's on the floor laughing at my... He's not laughing with me. I'm just saying, Iron Man 2 wasn't that great, and Captain Marvel was. So there was a correlation there at some point. Somebody else talk.
I mean, we covered my ass pain, and that's really the only thing that's happened since Tuesday.
You know, it's tough when there's only 2 days between.
Nothing good happened. I'm just trying to like cram through Russian Doll, and I only made it through like 5 episodes.
That's okay.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing. So I, like, when we recorded on Tuesday, it was like, yeah, we have 2 more days, gonna do this. And I love Russian Doll, but I just couldn't bring myself to rewatch.
I finished
it. For some reason. I'm very proud. I just, like, lately, I don't know. I think I need more time. I just, like, it shouldn't be that hard to make yourself watch TV, right? And I'll be, like, at the TV and, like, okay, let's watch Russian Doll. It's this thing I love. Let's watch it. And then I'll just watch Schitt's Creek instead.
Well, that's because you've got something new and shiny.
Yeah. Well, and I'm glad you said that, too, because I feel like I had a similar thing, that it's just, like, I get home so late. By the time I have dinner, it's, like, I've been so tired lately, so I've been trying to go to bed early. So that means it's like you have to be done watching TV by like 10. So you have like your half hour of like no screen time. And the next thing you know, it's like all I had time for was like a 25-minute show. And you're like, great. So let's
one more episode. I never watch TV. I finished this at my desk at work today because I've got the dual screen thing going on. So I was like, hey, I got to watch Russian Doll for my podcast. Does anybody want to talk about it with me? I got a couple takers, and they didn't like any of my theories. And then I was like, all right, well, I see ya. And that's pretty much what happened.
Nice.
So I did listen to that interview on NPR that I think Dennis posted about, that interview with Natasha Lyonne. That was really interesting, and it was great to hear her talk about it. And when I was listening to that, I was like, yeah, I love this show so much. But I just can't rewatch it yet.
Yeah. Do we want to just go into talking about this now, or do we want to save this for the end, like the last thing we do before the like housekeeping stuff at the end? So that way anybody that doesn't want to be spoiled doesn't have to do the skip through thing.
Okay. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do that. Before we move on, does anybody want to mention In the Dark at all? I had a note from last episode.
Oh, that I did get through.
Yes.
Yes.
Did you guys see Brian's comment in, I can't remember which group it was in.
It was in the main page.
It was in the main page because I saw it.
I thought we need to talk to Brian again.
Yeah, I think maybe an episode in June once the verdict comes out, or maybe before the verdict comes out, maybe we should have our good friend Brian back on and
talk
about it a little more.
Yes, because this was the comment that he had made. After listening to the oral arguments, I predict a 7-2 or 6-3 for Curtis. I'm going out on a limb and going to say that Chief Justice Roberts will write it or assign Kavanaugh based on the questioning and analysis presented at the hearing. Side note, did anybody listen to the oral arguments and think that Brett Kavanaugh is nothing but a suck up?
Right.
I like beer. That's all I could think of. I like beer, and I like to be aggressive with women. And I'm a Supreme Court justice now. I like beer.
Well, that's going to be a great bonus.
So, yes, well, surprised at what he said and the stance he took. Does not absolve him of the fact that he's just a shit human being.
I seriously, when I was listening to it the whole time, I was like, you suck up. You know that Roberts leans more towards being on the defendant side in things like this. So you are... And that's just based what Madeline said in the last episode.
Yeah, because you just want to not look like an asshole for once. But, you know, if a decision is about a woman, then...
Right. Well, and that's an interesting point. Yeah. It's like, would it have been any different?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you know what? If it gets Curtis off, that's also going to happen.
Acquitted.
Then whatever.
Yes, no, definitely. Definitely, definitely.
Okay, back to this. So, yeah, it'll be very interesting if Chief Justice Roberts or Justice Kavanaugh write the findings. I wanted to give a big, like, fuck you to Clarence Thomas. Like, really, that's your question?
Right.
Oh, my God, I know. Also, like, I forgot about the whole thing of, like, how he's just, like, basically a silent observer. Seriously, dude?
Do you think that all of his colleagues look at him and are like, why are you here?
Like, seriously, you're not yeah.
But isn't he, like, anything. Old as dirt? Oh, not he's only 70.
All this is coming out. Okay.
I thought he was much older than that. I thought he was only 70.
Yeah, we're going to go from isn't he old as dirt to Amanda going, he's only 70. And you guys are never going to know what you missed in between. I will go on the record to say that large chunks missing.
Brother in Arms is out.
Become a patron and find out what Brother in Arms means. Patreon.com/Jay and Jack. I guarantee it. Not even Miranda Lambert would touch that. Also become a patron. Anyway, if you do want to hear the full arguments, though, courtesy of Brian, there is a C-SPAN link. I will link to it in the show notes, and you can listen to the whole hour of it. If you want more beyond the newest episode of In the Dark, which is In the Dark, Season 2, Episode 13. If you want more than just that, I will link to the C-SPAN audio of the arguments in the show notes. Check that out. What we were referring to, though, with Justice Thomas was he asked how many black or white jurors did the defense strike, and of course the defense only struck white jurors, and he was hoping for that aha moment, but Mr. Thomas didn't do his homework because there were no black jurors left to strike, so how do you like them apples? But yes, so it looks like, I don't know, looks... Fingers crossed that things could go well for Curtis.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Giving a man a chance at justice.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, moving on. Let's get into, we've got a little bit of facey-back feedback, and then we're going to do Russian Doll. So we're just going to flip-flop everything today for all you people who haven't listened to Russian Doll yet.
Do we have facey-back?
I was going to say, we don't have any facey-back.
The only facey-back we have is Russian Doll.
Okay, yeah, great.
We did it all.
So it's, okay. We have two emails.
Okay, so we don't have anything for that. So we're going to do our feedback real quick, and then we're going to talk about Russian Doll, and then we will leave you guys with some food for thought and hope that over the next week you give us some more feedback. Okay, cool.
Okay.
Yay!
So great.
Here we go.
Okay, so our first email is from Maggie. It's entitled General Feedback. General Feedback?
General Feedback. Nicely done.
Welcome. Okay.
That sounds and, just as funny as saying Justice Thomas.
Oh, right. Yeah, that would have been one too. Oh, well. It's fine. He doesn't deserve it. Okay. Hi, Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. Colleen, wishing you well today with your procedure. Hope it goes well. Your Leaving Neverland discussion was really good. It was very thoughtful. I'm not sure if I will watch the documentary or not. I'm leaning towards not right now. I've never been a huge MJ fan. It's kind of interesting and sad that we've all known about this for so long, and it was a joke for the longest time. I want to get your thoughts on the new In the Dark podcast episodes. I've only heard the first one so far. It was good. I'm really interested to see what happens at the Supreme Court. I've been sick 3 times in the past 6 weeks, fun stuff, and have just finished rewatching all 7 episodes. I assume that's seasons of Game of Thrones?
Yeah,
I think episodes of the last season is what I'm assuming.
Okay.
Or maybe 7 seasons, and that is intense.
It's a lot.
And hats off.
Either way, you have watched a lot of dragons and killing. Good on you, Maggie.
And a lot of incest.
Yeah. Oh, it's a lot. It's a lot. Can't wait for the new season. I'm super excited to watch Game of Thrones in Raleigh again.
Woo, woo. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. We're all going to watch Game of Thrones together.
Awesome. I'll be sure to bring a book. Sorry, guys. Just don't like dragons. As for the can Mike be a broad and what does that mean discussions, I think the three of you are the broads, and you three are the only ones who can make someone an honorary broad. What? I was happy to be made an honorary broad a few weeks ago. Bye-bye.
Well, I'm glad that we talked about In the Dark already.
Yes. It all just kind of dovetailed.
It did. Mm-hmm. And Maggie, you're a patron. You're going to hear some awesome Supreme Court discussions. Brother in arms.
Mm-hmm.
Brothers in arm? Is it brother in arms or brothers in arm?
I would say brothers in arms.
Brothers, I think it's arms, plural. Hold on. To the internet.
To the internet she shall go.
To the internet.
Well, because so he is his brother in arms, but they together are brothers in arms.
Yeah. When I Googled it, it says brothers in arms, plural.
Plural. Okay.
Yeah. Brothers in arms.
Brothers in arms. Yeah. Well, I think we have an episode title.
It was also the fifth studio album by the British rock band Dire Straits.
Dire Straits. Who knew?
Just in case anyone was curious about that.
Very good. Good to know. I think that we're going to have an episode title after something that we are 100% cutting out of the episode.
Yes, I love it. I love it so much.
So if you'd like to get that reference, you're going to have to become a patron and listen to it on our April patron show. Again, patreon.com/JaneJack. Okay. But I'm sorry, Maggie, that you've been sick, and I hope that you are feeling better soon.
Yes.
Here, here.
And we can't wait to see you in Raleigh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is only a month away.
Yes.
God, I can't believe it's so close.
So close.
Woo. All right. That's what she said. Our next email is from The Drake, and I'm going to let Shandy take care of the rest.
Okay, so it says, this one is entitled Nagashi Somen, and then it's also written out.
Pronunciation.
I would like to hear how it's supposed to be done, and then...
Hey, I bought it.
Okay. It's, if you say anything with enough confidence,
it's true.
You're good to go. Yeah.
It's true.
But that would be AKA flowing noodles. Sounds delicious. Okay. Hello, broads. I was thinking about noodles and remembered that in Japan, they have something called flowing noodles. Below is a description from Wikipedia. There are a lot of videos of these from homes and restaurants. All right. So this entry from Wikipedia says, quote, some restaurants offer nagashi somen, flowing noodles, in the summer. The noodles are placed in a long flume of bamboo across the length of the restaurant. The flume carries clear, ice-cold water. As the somen pass by, diners pluck them out with their chopsticks and dip them in tsuyu. Catching the noodles requires a fair amount of dexterity, but the noodles that are not caught by the time they get to the end usually are not eaten, so diners are pressured to catch as much as they can. A few luxury establishments put their somen in real streams so the diners can enjoy their meal in a beautiful garden setting. Machines have been designed to simulate this experience at home. End quote. Jake. Let's try that again. End quote. Drake. So I love the name, but the process sounds really stressful.
I don't know. It sounds kind of cool.
But you'd be into it. Amanda, I bet you if you added Parmesan to it, it would taste good.
If you add Parmesan to anything, it's delicious.
Parmesan noodles, yeah.
Yep.
Hashtag Patreon bonus show. I mean, it does sound really good. I would eat it if somebody else made it for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like it takes a little of the fun out of it to make your own flowing noodles.
But we will definitely add this to the Wrong Way Ramen.
Yes.
For sure.
Love it.
Which, again, needs to happen. How many recipes do we have to get to before that is a thing?
I would say maybe if we can get to 8 to 10.
Oh my God. I was going to say 10.
I was thinking 50.
Well, 50 is even better, but yeah, maybe 10 should be our first benchmark.
Yeah, I think 10 is a good goal to begin with.
All right. Well, everybody send in things for ramen that are made the wrong way or delicious as well. Cool.
Right, right. They should also be delicious. Don't just send us like weird ways to make ramen that aren't very tasty. Yeah, we don't want that. We're not interested.
Yeah, it can't be like, and then I made ramen and pooped and it was good.
Right.
I don't know.
It's like, well, I make my ramen and then I drop it on the floor. It's like, no, we don't want that. We don't want that. It's like your hack has to be delicious.
Yes, it has to be edible. An edible ramen.
Someone other than you must also find it delicious. It must be objectively delicious.
Yes. Oh, my God. Maybe one of these years in Raleigh, I'm not talking about this year, but maybe this year, we could have a ramen noodle cook-off.
Oh, okay. I can get behind that.
Yeah. Jana. Just going to say it.
I like it.
That would be amazing. And we could sample them during our live show.
Oh, my God. Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We could judge them. We could have like a whole thing.
And then we could also render a verdict of what is an honorary broad.
Yes.
Okay.
I like this.
Yeah, I like it.
And do tequila shots. Everybody wins.
Yep. This is a very eventful show.
Woo! Yep. It's amazing what you can do in an hour. That's what she said, Matt. I'm just eagerly anticipating if anybody actually gets the vibrator with a really long name through the Amazon link.
Like, has that not happened yet?
Oh, we haven't released the episode yet.
Oh, don't worry. I linked to it. And in the show notes, it does say the vibrator with the long name.
Yep. We'll see. Right. We'll see in 2 hours.
We'll see. Or apparently under a minute.
Well, you figure an hour to listen to the episode.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah.
All right. So I think, is that it for our feedback?
Yes.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you guys for writing in. If anybody has any feedback, you can email us thebroadcasters3@gmail.com or you can call us 331-276-2373. Now we have a bunch of feedback for Russian Doll and we are finally going to talk about it. So if you're a person that likes to come back and hear all the silly things that we say for the housekeeping portion of the show, you can come back in and do some housekeeping. That's what she said also. So anyway, yeah. But before we do that, we should actually go to our quick commercial break. We are back and ready to talk about Russian Doll.
Hooray.
Hooray. How do we want to start? I feel like we've kind of talked about it on and off so much that I don't even know where to jump into other than it was awesome.
Yeah. I guess I would maybe start with, I wish I had been able to get through a full rewatch, but in the bit of the rewatch I did get to do, it was really great going back and watching those early episodes once you knew how it ended.
Yeah.
I feel like I picked up on a lot of little details and things that I maybe wasn't paying attention to as a casual watcher, like before I got really invested. Because I tend to watch television while I'm doing other things. I'm on my phone, I'm crocheting, I'm doing Lord knows what else. You miss little details in a show like that. Little details can be kind of important.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really enjoyable.
Yeah, there is a lot like to watch. Like even from the first episode, I don't even know like where to start. So let's talk about, like, the cat, right? Can we talk about the cat to start? Because cats are, like, our thing, kind of.
Cats are our thing. Mine is meowing at the door.
All right, so Oatmeal the cat, right? That's the reason why Nadia ends up getting killed in the original timeline, right? Like, the OG timeline, because she's Oatmeal in the park across the street. And then the second time she dies, Oatmeal disappears in her arms. And I think that that's the first thing disappearing. But we don't realize it until we see more things disappearing.
Oh my God, that's right. Because that happens early enough along that just like you were saying, Amanda, it's like you don't necessarily connect it unless you do a rewatch. Yeah.
I didn't connect it till just right now. Because I guess we don't see Oatmeal again till they've figured out that things are disappearing and that they're on this loop. And I guess we really don't see Oatmeal again until the last loop, do we?
Nope.
Right. Yeah. They talk about oatmeal, but yeah, I guess we don't ever see him again till the end. Mm-hmm.
And I think when he did disappear, like, I think I just sort of chalked that up to this is a trippy situation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's 100% what I chalked it up to.
Yeah. Huh. Because he disappears, and then when we learn about Alan, Alan's fish disappear, and that's his pet. Which also is weird that he would pay $50 for his fish to get fed, right?
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. So,
well, $25 a day.
Yeah. That sounds like New York prices, right?
Oh, right. But they weren't going to be gone for a weekend. They were going away for like a week. So for a week? Yeah. That feels reasonable.
All right, maybe. Okay. Sorry.
But
I just couldn't get
there's also
that last night. I was like, that's a lot of money for a fish.
No, that is a lot of money for a fish. But I mean, if you really love your fish. And speaking of fish, so I did rewatch the first episode. And in that one, I did notice that at that party that they're at with the vagina door in the very beginning, when she comes back the very first time, she asks her friend, like, don't you have more fish?
Yep. That's
and her friend's like, no, just the two of them.
Yep, oh, right. Ketchup and mustard.
They're still alive. They're okay. Yeah, they're upright.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Well, and that kind of does dovetail into something that I wanted to talk about that I picked up in the rewatch of the first episode with the homeless man, Horse.
Horse.
How the first time we see him, Nadia goes, I think I know that guy.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's kind of the same thing. So what if this loop that we're seeing isn't actually the first loop?
Ah, that's a good point.
What if she's died before and we're just dropping into the story now?
That's great, because that actually ties into the very, very, very last scene where they both walk into the tunnel, and the timelines that they were separate, they were led to believe that they combine because the split screens go to one, and then, you know, you have present day and present day that we know go. But then you see Nadia walking, and there's other Nadias in the crowd.
There's at least two Nadias that walk by when you see her one coming forward.
Oh, shit. I didn't pay close enough attention.
Both of those Nadias are in the outfit that she's – the coat that she's wearing. The gray coat. So in the Nadia timeline that she remembers, she's in the white puffy shirt, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And then,
I thought that was just a very clever directorial choice, was to put those two characters in something slightly different to be able to differentiate where you were.
Yep.
I think in a show that's already so layered and so complicated, it was a very simple way to help us, the audience, be able to keep everything straight.
Yep. Yep. Agreed. And those two Nadias that are walking through the crowd are in the the Alan final timeline, where Nadia doesn't know, you know, what's going on, and she's in the gray jacket. The Nadias walking through the crowd in the very last scene are in that same jacket. So we're led to believe that they're just more Russian doll versions of her that, you know, are unaware of what's going on. So that would make perfect sense to what Amanda was just saying with how she thinks she knows Horse.
Right.
She says it at least twice in at least two timelines, the first two.
Yeah, before we actually meet him.
Yeah.
And I also noticed, and I'm not sure if this is anything worth noting, but I thought it was interesting. In those final two loops, in Nadia, when Nadia's aware, her loop, Horse is not wearing shoes. In Alan's, he is wearing shoes.
Oh.
Yes.
And I thought that was very interesting.
Yes, because I didn't notice it with Nadia, but I looked for it in Alan's because Nadia had given him Alan's shoes at one point.
And oh, yeah.
So you're talking about when Alan gives him the ring and stuff, right?
No, I'm talking at the very last episode when they're both in their final loops trying to save each other.
Yeah, that's.
And they both come across Horse in that episode. One of them, he's wearing shoes. One of them, he is not.
Okay, because I think he's wearing shoes in the loop where Alan doesn't know, because he gives him the ring and does the fake proposal and stuff. Because I looked to see if he was going to give him shoes to see if there was significance.
Oh, was that? Because I watched through like the first four episodes, and then I went and I watched the last episode because I knew I wasn't going to get through the middle stuff, and I wanted to like Okay, so yeah. Okay, I guess that is when that happens.
I think so. And I didn't even think to pay attention to it for Nadia's. I just looked for it because I thought, oh, how poetic if Alan gave him his shoes. Maybe now I'm incorrect. But
I don't know. But yeah, but I noticed that and I thought it was very interesting. Yeah. I think there is something, there's horse holds some kind of linchpin to the whole universe.
Especially with
that
the haircut
we didn't just, that we weren't privy to in the first season. And mm-hmm. I kind of hope that the next season will uncover that
yes,
for us a little
horse
bit.
Horse and oatmeal, because horse is holding oatmeal in.
Yes, I agree. I think there is something there. There's some kind of mystical thing that's that the whole thing kind of hangs upon.
Yeah.
Right, because like, what's up with his name even being horse when there's so many like animals throughout the thing?
Yeah.
Like, is there something to that? Because it's obviously a choice that they're going to nickname him Horse
right.
in the show.
They talk about how he got to become homeless, right? He was made millions on Bitcoin or something like that. And then, or just in, he made millions in like tech industry and then like gave it all up. Because he has this whole discussion with Nadia at the very end where he's talking about, like, how do you know if you still exist? And, you know, he says something like, I think she asks him, like, how do I know that you're real? And he's like, pretty much, like, are any of us real, man? Woo!
Right.
Like, you know, it's very existential. And then she gives him the necklace.
Right. She says, it's too heavy.
Yeah, it's too heavy. Yeah,
I loved that.
I love that, too. I just, there's so much in this episode. Did either of you ever remember when I mentioned last week the it looks like someone just threw a gauntlet right into my puss-puss line?
I haven't caught on to that.
Okay. It's in episode 6.
Yeah, what is that from?
So it's in 6, and Alan and Nadia are trying to figure out, like, who they are in relation to each other, and, like, he confesses that he can't remember the first time that he died, and they are then decide to try to recreate the first timeline to figure out if he remember he died, and they're trying to get him drunk in the bar, and he's talking about Mike, and he's like, I could fuck you better than Mike, and she goes, oh, well, it looks like somebody just threw a gauntlet right in my puss-puss.
Right.
Love that. When they're at the horseshoe bar.
Which we talked about this off air yesterday, or 2 days ago. There, that's the same bar that they shot Jessica Jones in.
And I've been there.
And you've been there.
And you've been there.
Yes. Yeah, I did think the whole thing with Alan, like the fact that he couldn't remember why and like just like leading up to like the whole reason that he died the first time was a suicide. I really liked how they did that. And because it was a sort of mystery. And then you're like, oh, like that's why he can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't really put it together until the second time, because the first time around I was like, oh, so just out of nowhere, Nadia has this thing where she's just suddenly seeing herself as a kid and blah, blah, blah. And then the second time I watched it, I was like, oh, no, wait. Alan had that same struggle as well. It was just manifested differently because his demons were kind of in the present and he had to accept his present, whereas Nadia's demons were in the past.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I really liked how, you know, it wasn't super parallel where he had a bad childhood, she had a bad childhood. Like, they each had their demons and they were at separate times in their lives, but they had to save each other in the end.
Uh-huh. Also, can we just say, I fucking loved that, and I forget her name, but the woman who played also in Orange is the New Black, who was Alan's fiance.
Oh, yes.
I just fucking love that she, like, shows up in this show as well, and she was awesome.
Oh, my
She's
God.
She's awesome in both.
I forgot she was in Orange is the New Black. She's the one that had the affair with the...
She's Daya.
Yes, okay. Yes, exactly. Yeah, with
the
prison guard.
She has a baby with prison guard, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, I loved that connection, and I love how different the characters are in both that she plays. But it was really cool to see her and to be like, oh, like, they know each other from Orange is the New Black.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know that she called her up and was like, hey, what are you doing? Do you want to come be in my show?
Yeah. So, yeah, I was listening to that interview that I mentioned earlier in the show, and they talk a lot about addiction, and how it, like, sort of impacts the show. So that's maybe a topic to get into. But they did also touch on Orange is the New Black. And one of the things that Natasha Lyonne said that I thought was so interesting was just how she, like, that was a really good experience for her because she didn't have to like worry so much about like appearance or anything like that, that you might have to worry on another set, because the whole thing was just, it's a bunch of women and like, you're supposed to be in prison. So like, just show up like flaws and all, just right. You can just go to work and you don't have to be so plagued by some of the other things. So anyway, it was interesting to hear her talk about both, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what else? I wanted to talk briefly about Emily of New Moon, because I read all the Anne of Green Gable books and I have them at my parents' house still, but I had never heard of Emily of New Moon.
Is that a real series?
It is.
I just assumed that it was made up for the series, kind of like Charlotte Light and Dark and like 6 Feet Under, how it's right. just kind of based off of something, but it's its own thing for the story.
So Emily of New Moon is the first in a series of novels written by Lucy Maud Montgomery, who wrote Anne of Green Gables, about an orphan girl growing up in Canada. And it was first published in 1923.
Oh, interesting.
Well, cool. Add that to the broadcast book club.
I know. And honestly, like, I love that it kind of all kind of, we get these like hints and it all comes back. And I even love at the in the last episode where Ruth is like, or I guess the second to last episode, Ruth is like, there's someone in the neighborhood. I don't know. Good times. And I was like, all great people are named Ruth.
True.
It's true.
But okay, let's get into some of the feedback, because I have a feeling that that is going to breed some discussion as well. Joanne said, just watched episode 5 of Russian Doll. If you're not laughing out loud at the end of episode 5, what kind of non-sick mind do you have left? Let's face it, I must be a little sick-minded to find the ending absolutely hilarious. So, let's see. The end of episode 5 is, when they both got hit by the air conditioning unit or whatever it was.
Oh, right.
Where they're like, I think we're dying at the same time. And then they look up and... I did laugh at that, Joanne. And then she continues with, just finished, well done in terms of storytelling and combining drama and comedy and some philosophical considerations. Probably a lot of hidden gems built in terms of the side characters, including the cat. Oatmeal.
Yay. Oatmeal.
Yeah, that's a really cute name, by the way.
Yeah.
Oatmeal, like it sticks to your bones.
It's just like, it's like a good cat name that like you just feel like some 5-year-old would be like, oh, we're going to listen to Oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
I do kind of love it.
Yeah, it's solid.
Gott said, my feedback for Russian Doll, I have not watched it yet because I am frantically doing a Game of Thrones rewatch in anticipation of the new season. I'm on season 6, episode 3. I should make it. Well, did you make it? Inquiring minds want to know.
I know, this ends on a comma.
I know.
Just say it.
Interesting choice.
E dot mail and comma instead of period. Well, you know. Cool. Dan said, my feedback is I don't have any interest in watching this and that Gott is clueless for watching Game of Thrones for a second time in light of the horrible pacing and below average storytelling on the show. Plus, he is a member of the House Lannister.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't completely disagree with that. I just couldn't get into it, guys. I just couldn't.
Okay. Getting back to actual theories here. Jack of the Jay and Jack Show and the Rimblecast After Dark and Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen. That Jack, just in case it was any confusion, had two theories. And first one was there was no Alan. So does that mean that I think that he is thinking of this as like in Lost with Hurley, where Hurley had Dave, the imaginary friend, that Alan is the Dave of Nadia.
Well, but everyone can see Alan.
Well, oh yeah, that's true.
he interacts with characters other than her. I think if they were only, if she was only interacting with Alan and you didn't see him interacting with anybody else, I could get behind that. But because we see scenes with him interacting with people outside of Nadia, I'm inclined to debunk that theory.
That's a good point, unless the whole thing is taking place in Nadia's subconscious.
But your subconscious, you don't necessarily associate with things like that you weren't present for, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Although, oh, can I side note this? Now, this, I agree with you that there were things that she wasn't present for, but isn't it kind of awesome, like, the little, like, ways that they kind of intertwine in general?
Love it.
Yes.
From episode one, yeah.
From episode one, I love that. Like, beyond just the convenience store, like, I just, yeah. Okay, and then Jack's second theory, crackpot theory, was that Nadia died when she was a child. So that must mean that the rest of this is her purgatory or something?
Interesting. It does color the story in a totally different light. I think it kind of plays up
the redemption more than anything.
Well, it plays up the mystical as opposed to, and it plays down the, I think, the other themes of the show, like addiction and that sort of stuff.
Does it, though?
Kind of, I think so, because I think if you died as a child, you wouldn't, you know, like, why in your purgatory would you be an addicted adult?
Because your subconscious is still, like, struggling to let go of something, like an addicted adult is struggling to let go of something.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree.
It's an interesting theory.
It's an interesting theory. It is an interesting theory, but I think it takes the show in a more of a sci-fi thriller direction than I think what the show actually is.
Yeah, it does kind of have that they were dead the whole time vibe to it.
Yeah.
Although Matt did say, one, that's what she said, which is there was no Alan. And then I guess Alan is now a new word for erection, maybe? I don't know. And then two, did Nadia's mom work for Dharma? And that is just a inside joke from the days of Lost because Rose and Bernard work for Dharma, and that's all I'm going to say. Okay, so Aunt Tammy says, I didn't love it. It was okay. I know I'm missing something, but not sure what. I was a bit distracted by her chain smoking. Kept thinking about how stinky everything must be. So if that was bugging me, then I feel like I didn't really get into it. I watched based on Jack's recommendation, and I felt stressed watching Alan and his anxiety. Maybe Jack is right that he wasn't really there. I did appreciate the ending. I will say that that is a similar response that I did have to A Star Is Born, where I was like, how can Jackson really be that hot when he literally smokes and falls asleep drunk every night, and you know he's not brushing his teeth? I do understand that. That said, I feel like Nadia is the kind of person that is very much like, brush it off your shoulder, that his anxiety, she like very much was like, meh. I dealt with my crazy watermelon loving mother, so whatever.
Yes, which apparently was based on an actual story from her own childhood.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that a lot of it was based off of her own experiences growing up.
Interesting.
Which I think, and just from a storytelling perspective, is in and of itself really interesting. It's just like a really interesting way to approach childhood trauma and addiction and some of these like darker serious topics that like we feel like we need to face head on, and they have to be like the way in and the story. And I think this is really kind of a way to channel that in a different direction and kind of go at it from an opposite angle. And I think that's really cool to kind of take some early childhood trauma and not make that the focal point of the story, but make that the springboard for the story. Yeah. And I thought that was just a cool way to look at it.
Yeah.
And a way that probably only a room full of women writers would do.
Totally.
And they did awesomely.
Totally, yeah, because totally. I think that's also important that we haven't brought up yet, that this is 100% a female creative team, like top to bottom. The whole writer's room was women. All the directors were women. The producers were women. Like, it was all women.
Yeah.
And diverse. And it was a very intentional thing that they filled the room with women that came at it from different experiences so they could bring their different experiences into the story. And I think that's why it is so rich and so complex.
Oh, I love that so much. Yeah. And even like, I agree with you on all the richness and complexity, but even something so simple as in like one of the very first scenes, having that fucking vagina door, mm-hmm. like you wouldn't see that in something else.
Yep.
And of course, everyone's immediately like, oh yeah, that's a vagina. And it's great. And then you realize that it's like this lesbian couple that made it. And it, and even their interaction of like, you know, Nadia's like complimenting them. And it's like, oh, she designed it. Oh, but she put it together. It's like just this, you know.
But I don't think they're a couple. I think they're just
friends.
Friends. Because then.
It's sort of ambiguous.
Right. Because then I think you see the actual girl that she is in a relationship with.
But aren't they like in an open relationship? In any case,
several people throughout the series.
These friend roommates.
Sure.
Yeah,
are they roommates? I don't know. I kept it unclear.
Yeah.
I think that's something I really love, just how really lived in all the characters were. Like, you yes. didn't even necessarily know their relationships. You just knew that they were all very important people in each other's lives.
Yeah, yes.
I want to be friends with all of them.
Yeah. I didn't get the impression that Maxine and Lizzie were in a relationship. I got the impression right. that Lizzie was in the relationship with the woman that she wanted to move upstate with and get the dogs with.
Right. That's what I thought.
That's true. That's
what
true.
I thought too. That they were just like.
They were friends. Yeah. No,
right. Because Lizzie is clearly some kind of art director and she builds stuff. But they were also had the open
relationship because we had several iterations in which Lizzie woke up in the fuck pile.
Right.
I loved the fuck pile.
I know. I love the fuck pile too. And I loved the each morning when Lizzie and Maxine would have a discussion about like why Kool-Aid tastes so sweet in the Jonestown thing.
Yeah.
And then my actual out of all the Maxine things, just a side note, was in the last episode where I guess the second to last episode where she was like, I have a fire escape.
Yes.
I'm gonna to update my Airbnb.
That was hilarious. But I also really liked how when that started to be used by Nadia, and she was basically explaining to Lizzie, like, there's this really crazy thing that I need you to accompany me on. Yeah. And it was always just like, no questions asked. Like, love the crazy, love you. Like, let's do this. I loved that.
She's like some line where she's like, yeah, because this is safer.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. I know. Yeah. It's women supporting women.
Yeah. Totally.
But yeah, like I loved all the characters, just felt so very lived in. Like I bought all of their relationships.
Yeah.
Really like, hard.
I seamlessly transferred into all of it.
Yeah. I liked the diversity of it too. That yes. like there wasn't put too fine a point on it, but everybody looked a little different from each other, and we covered a fairly well-versed roundup of people.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely more than a regular show. But I was just going to say one final thing on the actual like friendships.
Yes.
Friendships. Of the characters, it was really interesting since we got to see like that sort of like Groundhog Day effect of over and over and over the same reactions. It was really interesting to see the different reactions to like Nadia leaving the party early and like the times when the friends would get mad at each other, but at the end of the day, like they still just really love each other. And to see all of that and be like, yes, this is friendship. Sometimes you will be really pissed at each other and sometimes you will say mean things, but you are still friends. I really liked that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Same. I loved that. And even like to an extent, like Mike was a dirtbag, but like I even liked how he even knew like his role was like, yeah, I'm the hole where the choice should be. Or her boyfriend, whose name is escaping me right now. Like, you know, I like that whole arc. And, you know, just the relationships. They did just such a great sorry. All of a sudden, I had, like, a lot in my dry mouth for the last 2 days. All of a sudden, got, like, filled. All of the relationships, they did a really good job with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so Matt says, what would your gotta get up be? Like, what would be your gotta get up if you were stuck in a time loop?
Yes, I love this. I've been thinking about this all week since I saw it. I thought it was really, really great.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it too, and I can't think of one.
I landed on Extraordinary Machine.
Oh.
Extraordinary Machine.
Yeah, if there was a better way to go, then it would find me.
I can't help it. The road just rolls out behind me.
Yes, and I meant to do a little research about that that song and why they picked it. And I had done it like way, way before we had this conversation. I think it had partially to do because it's just a really great earworm and it like really sticks with you. But I believe that the musician also struggles with addiction and maybe died young.
Oh.
Don't quote me on this, people, but I think that was that's also the case.
Okay. Well, and then so it also fit Nadia too, because Alan's had that piano concerto.
Yes.
Which was, now I have not confirmed this, but according to my closed captioning, it was Piano Concerto number 4 in G major, opus 58, number 3, title 3, movement 3. Movement 3. Right? Movement?
That sounds right.
Yeah, sure. Movement is a part. Yeah. Is a part of a big musical work.
Yes. And then it was by Vivaldi, which I know Vivaldi.
Vivaldi?
Vivaldi? No, Vivaldi. I literally copied it down. Rando Vivaldi.
Rando?
I'm not sure what rando means.
I feel like your closed caption is punking you.
I think my closed caption.
Yeah, it's a rando.
My rando.
I feel like my closed captioning is also Brothers in Arms with Kavanaugh. Patreon.com/JaneJack. Here's the beginning of that joke. Vivaldi would make sense. Yes.
You do know closed caption is not always 100% accurate.
I do. They're like the weatherman. They don't have to be right all the time. Just some of the time.
Nope. Stopped clock is still right 2 times a day.
Sure is.
True.
All right. Shandy, did you have a song?
No. I saw this question, I thought, what a great question, and then I thought, I have no fucking idea, and I will not, even if I think about this a lot before we record.
Okay, you guys have to promise not to laugh at me, but every time I think about, like, so I just, like, closed my eyes, pictured myself, like, waking up in front of the mirror, like, Nadia does, mm-hmm. and all I can hear in my head is, "Yo, I'll tell you what I want."
So maybe you have to go with that.
I think I have to go with Wannabe. I think the universe is telling me Wannabe.
I like it.
All right, moving on. Moving on. Margaret said that I need to download that song. It was stuck in my head for over a week from binging that show. Right now it's Adele from last night's The Voice. It was just like a movie. That's not how it goes, but whatever. Okay, so moving on. We've got an email from Maggie.
All right, Mags writes in, "Hi, Abroads. I loved Russian Doll. I actually watched the whole thing twice in about a week." Good job. "It's rare that a show you can binge benefits from a rewatch. My roommate was asking about the show right after I finished it the first time, and I told him if it wasn't after midnight, I'd watch it again all over right now. Such a good show. Here's an article with all the deaths in Russian Doll. I found it helpful." And there's an article from vulture.com.
I'll link to it in the show notes.
Cool. So, like Jack, Maggie has a crackpot theory that her friends think is nuts, but that's why she thinks it's crackpot theory. Maggie says, "When Nadia and Horse are sleeping outside and she dies, I think Horse disappears. She's next to him and then he seems to disappear and then she freezes to death. I may be the only one who thinks that, but it's what I got. Can't wait to hear you ladies talk more about Russian Doll. I'm ready for season 2 now. Bye-bye."
Well, I think that does kind of fit into the theory that we've been working with, that there's something going on with Horse and the story, like the loops.
Yes. And all the animals.
And all the animals
disappearing and the people named animals.
So, Maggie, I don't think that's crazy at all.
My only counterpoint to that would be we see horse again and we don't see the other people that disappear again. Unless horse, bless you.
Bless you.
Thank you. Sorry, I didn't have time to silence it. If you want to say that again so you can edit that out.
Oh, don't worry, I will. unless horse is more of the guide than the...
Mm. Oh, 100%. I think he's the guide. Like,
if
I think
he's the guide, then him disappearing makes more sense.
Yeah.
But if he's just a character, then him disappearing, like, he couldn't have because everyone else who disappeared had never come back.
Yeah. No, I think it's the former, the latter.
Yeah, he's a guide.
Yes, that he's the guide.
I do want to point out, though, that it seemed that all of the very important people in their lives, the people that they had to connect with, seemed to stay in the story. Like Maxine was the only one left in the party. And she had the conversation with Ruth to make, you know, to make good with her past. And Alan had the conversation with Beatrice to make good with that. And Mike was still there in all the iterations because, you know, Mike was a central player kind of in both of their nights, but especially in Alan's, even though he wasn't in Alan's first night, he was in Nadia's first night. So it is kind of interesting how all the noise gets drowned out in order for you to really kind of
focus.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point.
And then we have another email from Greg.
I hope I made it in time. I just finished.
That's what she said.
Hello, Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. Thanks for bringing up this show. I really enjoyed it. I still have a lot to think through about it as I just binged it all.
Nice.
Good on you. I think the part of the show that really struck me was how much I can relate to Nadia. I sadly share her view on some things, and I'm not sure that's a good thing. The scene that really hits the relatability home for me was when she was talking to Ruth and Ruth described her being a seed in the darkness searching for light, a life slash light.
I love that scene.
I do too. Then she asked if she still wanted that and she didn't respond, which is not a good way to respond to that kind of question. I think I would answer the question that question in the same way.
No.
Fortunately, she seems to get at some point, even in our deepest pain and sense of loss, it can help us to help others.
Yes.
It's weird. Yeah, no, for sure. It's weird. I've been really struggling lately. When I'm with people that cause a lot of stress, I shut down and become bitter and shut people out. I'm just too tired to fight it there. But when I'm out and about in public, I'm trying to be extra nice to people. Waiting longer to hold a door open for someone, leaving leaving a bigger tip than normal, genuinely asking a random employee about their day when they ask about mine. Nothing major like saving someone's life, but just little things to try and improve someone else's day. Just small moments. It's not a lot, but it's what I have at this time. I guess I'm off topic. Maybe I'll send more thoughts later on. I'm not sure. Have a great night. Well, Greg.
I don't think you're off topic at all.
You're not off topic. I mean, this whole show is about the little moments and how they all add up in the moment in time of our lives.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this show makes a case for the minutia and why it's important.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you don't get it, we'll punch you in the crotch to make sure that you know.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
Yep. Well, and I think that's what makes a show good, that, it can be really clever and surprising and make you think and theorize about all the different possible theories and what things mean. But I think at the end of the day, a good show is something that really sticks you in the heart because it's really relatable and really has something important to say about pointed emotional things. So I don't think you're off topic at all. I think that's kind of the joy and what makes this show so cool is that it really has a very strong heart and a very strong point of view when it comes to to that side of the story.
Yeah, and I think I just realized who we're going to send Emily of New Moon and assign the book report to.
Yes.
So, Greg, be on the lookout. Amazon Prime. Already got it. And now you can pick your delivery day. So, here's that. No, you can. It's awesome, guys. You can do birthday presents in advance and do Prime, and it's still Prime, but you don't have to worry about it because they like let you pick on the calendar.
Oh, that's really smart. I don't know if I've ever done that. That's super cool.
It's new. It's new over the last like couple of times that I've been in.
Yeah, that's really smart.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the feedback that we had. Is there anything else that we want to bring up? I would love to continue this at some point. Like, this show has been just, I don't know, just really great, like, food for thought and discussion. I love the rotten fruit as the, like, kind of allegory for the whole thing. And I didn't get it until the second time around, where it was still, you know, it was still ripe inside, and it was just showing that, like, time on the outside was going on without them, as we went back to, like, what Amanda had said in the beginning, and we talked about the two Nadias at the end. But, like, you know, in the inside, they were still fresh and ripe. And I love that.
That is really cool.
Like, they had just... she was on Seth Meyers, and there was a... In her interview, she showed a picture of one of, like, the PAs in front of the, like, Amanda, maybe you know the name of it, but it was, like, the board in the back, and it had, like, seven or eight different lines, and it was color-coordinated, so each timeline, each thing that happened in a timeline had, like, a certain color, so, like, it was...
Oh, right. Yeah, I haven't seen that interview, but I've read articles where they sort of talked about how they strategized. They called all, like, the deaths loops, and they would all get numbered, and they were kind of set up in, like, time going across and, like, space going down so they could sort of keep track of where everything was.
And it was in different colored note cards. It was really cool. Like,
yeah.
Very cool.
Well, it just, like, it really layers it, because then they can plan costumes and, like, everything can kind of hang, and they can know, like, okay, they should be wearing this, or, like, this, you know, like, this element, or, like, we can start. It just made for a really cohesive story. Like, I think this is a really smart way to go about it.
Yeah, it did.
That's cool. I'll have to look at that interview. I'd like to see that picture.
Very cool. It's pretty cool. But yeah, I guess that's all I have for right now. I'm sure as soon as we stop, I'm going to remember like 8 million new things. But
well, then everyone else who hasn't gotten in their feedback, give us more so we can keep talking about this.
Yes, please. TheBroadcasters3@gmail.com or 336-2373.
Yep. And I'm so glad they're getting more seasons. This is going to be exciting.
Me? Yeah, you know, I have to say, like, when it ended and I heard there were other seasons, my immediate thought was like, how? But I did not pick up on the other Nadias in the crowd. So now I am very excited and can very much see how.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
Yep. No, I love it when I know a show is going to keep going on and I can't figure out where it's going to go.
Yes.
That is my favorite thing. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I am too. I don't know when season two comes out, but I do know that season two of the new adventure, the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, comes out tomorrow as of today as of when we're released.
Oh, geez. So much TV. Gonna have to find more time to watch TV. I still haven't made it through Queer Eye yet.
I've never seen an episode of that show ever.
It's really good. Like, heard. Greg, you're feeling down. I would suggest watching that. This season, I have welled up a few times, and it just, my heart grows several sizes every time I watch it. So if you're feeling real down, I would suggest giving that a watch. It just, you can't help but just feel happy. It's just like literally comes from a place of love, and that's all it is about.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really like giving me so many feels in the good way. Yay. Consented feels.
In under 60 seconds.
Yep.
Or 30 minutes, whatever.
I think it's an hour. I don't know.
Prolonged 46
feels. 46 minutes, whatever.
Yep. Tantric feels.
Yep.
All the feels.
And Sabrina. Woo!
And Sabrina.
Yes. Very excited about that. We should talk about that.
Yeah, I love. I'm really excited, anticipating watching this as this is released, aka a week from now. So yay! But
anyway, I will be late. No spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers. All right, no spoilers. On that note, thank you to our patrons who support us. If you'd like to become a patron, you can do so by going to patreon.com/JaneJack. You can go to JaneJack.com and click on the Become a Patron link at the top of the or right-hand side of the page. Thank you to the patrons that contribute to a certain level, and that would be Eckhart Rigner, Tack from Tokyo, Ed the Creepy Mailman, Joanne with a Plan, Maggie the Magnificent, and the Drake. Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate you guys. We really appreciate all of our patrons. And we appreciate all of our listeners in general. If you like us and want to tell your friends to listen to us, we would really, really appreciate that as well. We are always welcoming new listeners and new people into our discussions. So if you would like to join the discussion, you can email us at thebroadcasters3@gmail.com or send us a voicemail at 331-276-2373. And again, we love your feedback. As Jay would say, if you like what you do, leave us a review. If you can leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to, that also helps us just get the word out there. If you'd like to shop through the Amazon affiliates link, you can go to janejack.com/Amazon, all lowercase letters. And yeah, I think that's about it. If you're a patron and you want to listen to our patron bonus content for March, it just came out this past week. We have some fun times.
You know, just a few.
Just a few. Well, we made Shandy cry this week. You know, it happens.
Yeah.
And yeah. Oh, follow us on Instagram, The Broadcasters 3. Our Twitter feed is The Broadcast 3. Our Instagram is off the hook, though, because we do live stories and stuff, and we have a lot of fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, if you want to keep the Russian doll discussion alive or anything else, you know how to reach us. On that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Rip it off, Maggie.